Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever. That's vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever to get started today.
Are you ready for the best real estate investing advice ever? Join Joe Fairless and today's successful real estate professional as they share it with you. Let's go.
A quick word from our sponsor, the Door Devil. Homeowners spend hundreds on alarm systems each year, but rarely reinforce the weakest point on the home, the doors. Bad guys know this, and that's why kick-ins are so common. Simply adding Door Devils virtually eliminates the home security gap. Sleep better tonight. Reinforce your doors. Visit DoorDevil.com and enter best ever to get an exclusive 20% discount on your purchase. Hello, best ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless, and I'm here with today's guest, Jen Kurtz. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Joe.
Welcome to the show, and you're going to bring a perspective that we haven't had on the show yet, and that is someone who is on the ground, actually on site, managing properties, and not only that, but working with low-income and subsidy housing, subsidy programs. So I'm really excited to talk to you a little bit about Jen before she gets into her background in more detail. She broke into real estate in 2012, and she was a site manager for a 96-unit property. And that property had subsidy programs, such as Section 8, and she'll get into that a little bit more. And she's currently a property manager. She manages a site with 120 units, and that also has low-income tax credit units, and 30 of the units are public housing units, and 15 of them are project-based. So I will let you translate that, Jen, to the best ever listeners on what the heck that means, in addition to telling them a little bit more about your background.
All right. Thanks, Joe. That's a very nice introduction. And thanks, all you best ever listeners, for listening to the podcast today. My background with the various subsidies that we have currently, as Joe said, we have the Low Income Housing Tax Credit Program, along with project-based voucher and public housing. In addition to that, we accept the housing choice vouchers. That is the part of Section 8 that is considered tenant-based. Along with that, it really what I'd like to do is point out some advantages of the program, and especially Section 8 vouchers, which really apply to a lot of private landlords in the industry. I think that there's a lot of stigma about the program and some claimed disadvantages. Some of those things might be that people in general just say they don't want to live next to Section 8 residents, but they don't even really know what that means. They just have a negative stigma towards it. Lots of other times, too, landlords just really don't want to be told what to do, and they don't want to have the extra paperwork, extra inspections, a government entity telling them what to do with their property. My personal philosophy on that is anybody can be a bad tenant, whether they're paying their own rent or their mom's paying their rent or their local housing authority's paying their rent. So I personally, I think that the advantages far outweigh the disadvantages with the Section 8 program.
So as far as I'm aware, there are two types of Section 8 programs. One is tenant-based and one is project-based. Can you help the best ever listeners and myself understand the differences between the two?
Yes. The project-based voucher system is it's a subsidy that is it is permanent with the property itself. It doesn't move if the tenant moves. So if they're in a subsidized unit and they move, it doesn't go with them. They essentially they give up that subsidy. With tenant choice or tenant-based housing choice voucher program, they can go anywhere in the private market when the landlord will accept it. So it stays with them rather than with the property.
I heard that the project-based Section 8 programs are going away. Is that a rumor or is that something that actually is correct?
As far as the project-based voucher and the public housing programs, sites that are built federal subsidy, they are phasing that out over time, really much more relying on Section 8 vouchers in the private market for private landlords to accept them. That is certainly true. Also, the low-income housing tax credit is becoming a lot more popular, too. It's giving developers an initiative to build good quality housing and then rent to individuals or families, households, that meet certain restrictions, income restrictions. Basically, there's income caps, is what you could say. Where I work currently at my property, we cannot rent to households whose collective income exceeds 60% of the area median income, and that is determined by HUD also.
Yeah, and the incentive for the developer is to get that tax credit.
That's right. You do get the tax credits in return for renting to households that are in compliance with the program.
And then on top of that, the developer might get a more favorable loan from the government if they did, say, a 221D4, because I happen to know this because I'm working on one, a development with a 221D4 loan.
And, oh, wonderful.
And there's incentives to rent to low income because that will help you get the best terms for, you know, the interest rate and the amortization and all that good stuff.
Absolutely, Joe.
So, Jen, based on your experience, first managing a 96-unit property being on site and now being on site for 120-unit, and both of the properties have some sort of subsidy program or tax credit, what is your best real estate investing advice ever?
Keeping an open mind. 100%. And while I know that might sound a little bit generic and maybe somebody has mentioned that before to the best ever listeners, I really think that has allowed me to succeed more so than anything else about keeping an open mind, not judging a book by its cover. When it comes to subsidies, and especially the tenant-based Section 8, which is the housing choice voucher, I really think if you follow the regular screening that you would hold true for everybody else, including credit scores, overall character, prior landlord references, everything of that nature, I really think that you can keep a really good tenant that you otherwise might not be able to rent to because they might not be able to afford your market rent or what you'd like to receive on their own.
And let's talk a little bit about the disadvantages of Section 8, just so we get both sides of the coin, I'll say perceived disadvantages. How about that? A perceived disadvantage is that if it's a housing choice voucher resident, then prior to them moving in, somebody from the county needs to come check out the property, and if he or she doesn't like the pothole in the corner of the parking lot that nobody comes across because it's in the corner of the parking lot, but they write it up in the report, then as an owner, you have to get that filled and addressed. And that is a small example of what could be larger issues that the inspector sees at the property that the owner wouldn't necessarily have to repair if they weren't doing that sort of program. Is that a true or false perception?
That is a true perception, absolutely, Joe. But to elaborate a little bit more on that, definitely before you have a tenant move in who is going to have a subsidy, There's definitely going to be the inspection by the housing authority. They do the HQS, which is housing quality standards. They have, you know, many criteria. Everything that exists should work. You know, of course, they have the, as far as switches, outlets, you know, everything like that. Anything that is supposed to have a function should be working. It should not be in an operable state. And then also, you know, there definitely are rules about trip hazards, how many GFIs are in the kitchen areas or bathrooms, anywhere where there's water, everything like that. But things that you mentioned, like a pothole, when you have a brand new tenant coming in and they perform that inspection, it passes, the housing authority will pick up the tab for that rent starting that very day. If they say that you have to make a repair, then if you agree, you'll make that repair. They'll come back, they'll reinspect again, and then their rent subsidy portion will start that day as well. If you decide that you don't want to do it, then that just falls through. And, you know, you basically, you do not have to participate in the program. So if it comes to the head where you have like a single family home and it is not going to meet housing quality standards according to the housing authority, even though you have this great tenant that you'd like to have move in, if you don't want to do those things, you can change your mind. Once someone moves in, there's going to be an interim inspection. And when you have the tenant that's already living there and then they come in to do their routine inspections, which you, of course, receive notification for and everything, at that point, when they find anything that is out of order or, you know, not according to their HQS standards, then you do have a certain amount of time to fix it, and they'll let you know about that. If you don't fix it, then it will essentially go under abatement, and they will stop making the payments that they are, you know, that they are required to make payment to you under the contract. The tenant is not responsible for that remainder as well. So it's really one of those things where if you decide you want to participate in the program, you have to, you know, really be ready to cooperate, really be ready to, you know, to make changes as needed, because they are very, very strict on their criteria.
You ready for the best ever lightning round?
Let's go.
Best ever book you've read.
Aside from real estate books, you know, everybody always says they like, you know, 4-Hour Work Week and Millionaire Real Estate Investor and things like that. The books that changed my mind and made me decide that I wanted to be self-employed one day when I was in a cube was Escape Cubicle Nation by Pamela Slim, which is quite hilarious, and it made me think about entrepreneurship for the first time. And I also really love The $100 Startup, because in its simplest way, it really gets your gears going for, you know, what you can do as an entrepreneur.
Best ever personal growth experience and what you've learned from it.
I would say working in a cubicle for 2 years before property management, because, again, that wasn't for me, and that's what really changed my life and wanted to be out and about and not caged.
Best ever success habit you practice.
I like to keep a dream board. I like to have visual images of things that remind me every single day what I want to work for, what motivates me. So I like to keep an actual dream board in my office, and I also keep a dream board on Pinterest so I can refer to it throughout the day on my phone.
That's funny. I'm the same way. I call it a vision board, but dream board, same thing. Actually, you know what? I'm going to call it a vision board, because dream seems almost unattainable, because it's a dream, whereas a vision, I'm like visualizing it. So I'm going to stick with mine. But
wow, that's a good point. I might have to change my – I have to think about that too and call it a vision board.
Yeah,
I like that.
It's more concrete. But I'm the same way. I have a vision board. It's hanging up in my room. It is on my phone as the backdrop, and it's also on the backdrop of my laptop. So I see it everywhere.
That's funny. We're definitely a lot alike in that aspect.
Best ever tenant story that you've come across.
Oh, my. Good or bad?
Surprise us.
Okay. I'm going to let you know, and all the best ever listeners, what happened about 2 months ago. And it started out sad, but it ends sweet. Ready? So what happened was we had a tenant that it got kind of nasty. They stopped paying rent, and you know what happens. It goes to eviction, so on and so forth. Well, once that day came where court came and went and the bailiff comes to the property and I walk with the bailiff to the unit, we're changing the locks, everything. The tenant's not home. I start going through the home and taking pictures of all the damage and some stuff that we had everywhere. And again, this is not at all reflective of the Section 8 program that I promote so much. This is definitely an exception and not a common story for me. But nonetheless, I found a small puppy, probably only a couple weeks old, in a cage in the corner of a room. And for all purposes intended, you would have thought it was abandoned. Obviously, it was just there by itself, and this place was a rest. Absolute mess. So, you know, it was a really horrible situation. It was really sad and disheartening. But this puppy, I ended up finding a wonderful, wonderful home. And my sister and my brother-in-law actually adopted it. And today he is a very healthy puppy, growing very fast. And he's probably about 2 months old now, 2 or 3 months old.
Best ever quote.
I like, live like today could be your last, but plan like you'll live forever.
What's the best place to reach you, Jen?
Absolutely Pittsburgh. Anywhere in the North Shore riding my bike on the trail system or at PNC Park watching my Pittsburgh Pirates.
I'm gonna do a study, a psychological study on people, because you're out of how many of these shows have I done? Probably like 60, 65. I don't remember. But you're the second person who has answered something like that instead of saying their contact info. I find that so interesting. The other person's like, Colorado, you know, ski in the slopes. I was like, what are you talking about? I want your contact info.
That's so funny. You know what? Maybe that means that we're out living lives instead of, you know, sitting at the computer all day.
There you go. We'll go with that. When you're right in front of a computer and someone wants to reach out to you, or you're in front of your phone, whatever, what's the best way to reach you?
Oh, at Jennifer Kurtz on LinkedIn. I also have a Twitter handle. It's at JenKurtz213. And that Twitter, I do tweet a lot about real estate, personal finance, economics in general. And if you can stomach Pittsburgh Steeler tweets and a lot of funny cat pictures, then follow me.
and now cute dog pictures too.
Yes, yeah, and cute Jonah, who's adopted in his forever home.
Well, thank you so much, Jen, for sharing your advice on management and the subsidy programs like Section 8. Really informative, and we'll talk to you soon.
It's my pleasure, Joe. Thanks for having me, and thanks, Best Ever listeners.
Hey you, Best Ever listener. Do you want more? Then head to joefairless.com, where there are tons of free videos, templates, and content to help you get deals done. And if you want Joe to personally help you reach your goals, then go to the Work with Joe tab on joefairless.com and apply to, well, Work with Joe.